This week on Stuck in Beta, I have the power, or at least the beer.
We're drinking I Have the Sipster from Alpha Brewing.
We're also debating the top five Christmas songs, Dropkick Murphys versus Brenda Lee.
And in Shop Talk, how to hang a TV without injuring yourself or burning the house down.
Let's get festive.
Let's do it.
Hey everyone, it's Stuck in Beta time. I'm Greg.
And I'm Josh. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
This is going to be our last show before Christmas? I would assume so.
Yeah, we'll probably do one between the new year and...
Okay.
That's probably, cool. I don't know.
Yep.
We'll have kids yelling and stuff upstairs, but that'll...
that'll be fun.
Yeah. Speaking of Christmas, I've been on Christmas cookie baking.
Yeah? You always do such an amazing job with cookies.
It's one of those things I have a love-hate with it. I like doing it because I like giving, then you have gifts to give out instantly. Mm-hmm. Give it a trays of cookies and stuff. But I always put my heights really high. I think
for quality?
Well, not just quality, just quantity too.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So this year, I think I have 13 different cookies I'm working on. 13. Or,
wow.
And then that's not including peanut brittle, fudge, like the little Rice Krispie. You can call them a cookie or not. It's like a peanut butter Rice Krispie with ball with chocolate wrapped around it.
Okay.
I think Molly calls them Buckeyes.
You've made those before, right?
Yeah. That's like her favorite thing, so I always got to make those. So, yeah, there's a ton of those things that I'm working on, and I only have like 7 of them done so far.
Oh, that's not bad. Well I say that, but I don't really know.
I mean, the worst ones are the sugar cookies and the gingerbread. That's two. I never do gingerbread men because I hate doing them. I hate having to... It's hard enough decorating the sugar cookies, but the gingerbread men are also up there with difficulty.
So do you do the traditional where it's the like white outline of the man? Is that what you're talking about as far as the challenge?
I've never done them, but...
Oh, okay.
And that's why I'm like, I don't want to have to do those too. Because sugar cookies, you're already doing one. Now adding another cookie cutout and decorating.
Yeah. But that would be one I could almost see that you would maybe only do one or two per tray for the gingerbread.
Yeah, anyway. Probably. And I want to have the kids help, but then again, so another love-hate thing. I love the kids to help, but I'm me and my, you know, micromanaging type situation. Molly will tell you I'm a micromanager in the kitchen. I'm the worst. Definitely when I see them, no, don't do that, you know.
You ruined it.
or also, like, when kids decorate it, they tend to lick their fingers and I'm like,
good.
You do these. I have a set for them to do.
They're like quarantined off.
Those won't go to anyone. Because, they don't want any, you know, licked cookies and... Both of my kids, I have pictures of both of them doing the same thing, decorating with sprinkles, and they just dump the thing on. It's just a pile on top of the cookie. Like, look what I did, Daddy. Oh, that's great. You gonna eat that?
Do all of the cookies have this like similar shelf lives? And I guess obviously it's more than a couple weeks, but are any of them where they got to be eaten within a certain period of time, or do you have any idea?
I don't know. I would say they're pretty similar, but that's why I don't try to do it real early, but I try to do mid-December.
Yeah.
But then I'm rushing, so.
'Tis the season.
Well, yeah. And then they're like, we got to go out and do this. Like, but I got to bake another batch. Nope, we got to do this. Okay.
Yep.
So good times. Yep. Let's have a beer.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to set this up real quick. Oh, I got you a Christmas gift.
Oh.
And it isn't the Voltron Series 7, which I know you're missing.
Oh.
But I'm hoping that this can will be special enough that it'll also go up on your shelf up here.
Oh, yeah?
Once you finish it.
All right.
We were at a brewery a couple weeks ago, and I saw this, and I'm like, this is Greg's beer right here.
Oh, I'm actually opening this, too.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. Oh, man. I have the Sipster. Oh, and it looks just like it's like a Masters of the Universe type thing. He-Man. That is really cool. And a Skeletor. Alpha Brewing Company.
Yep.
That's awesome. Thank you, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, play on He-Man. Talked about the Voltron series, and you know this. I know this is your favorite.
Oh yeah. So. Let's. What is the? It's an American Pale Ale. It's a.
Yeah.
Do you have the info on this?
I do not. I think it's on the can there. It's. I know it's 6%, so it's a little.
Oh, here we go. In a remote world, deep within Alpha Galaxy, a war rages on. The evil General Ghoul is after the ultimate beverage, the Sipster. What? The Sipster with it.
The Sipster.
Oh.
Is the beverage.
There's a period there. There's the Sipster. With it, he can quench the insatiable thirst and dominate the universe. The mighty heroes, Chad Himbo, Miss Tori, Samurai Sloth, and T-Rex, with a 3 for an E, stand in his way, but they need your help. Join the Sipster Club and use the power of beverage for good.
And here's maybe just a tip for anybody, brewers or anybody, make your font a little bit bigger.
The seltzers are good. Put this tiny font on the seltzers. The young kids drink
exactly.
That. Exactly. Good point. The older ones need the big. Although, if you put all that on a can and a font we needed.
Well, I mean, a font big enough we could still use our readers to be able to read it. But, I mean, I'm struggling with my readers. It's tiny. But the pairings say smash burger and fries.
I don't have that. I'm sorry.
No. But, oh, and by the way, I'm going to have my own. So that's your gift to me.
Well, I assumed I wasn't going to go, well, what are you going to have?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know. You know, sometimes we split one, but
yeah, it's a pale ale. Yeah, it's not. And we have like ale glasses. Actually, they're not. I just did that by chance.
This is very light.
6%.
Yeah, it is a little heavier for a pale ale. A little very light.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that will go up there with Voltron.
Cool.
Now you can see my glass isn't that clean.
Oh no, I wasn't looking at that. Smells good.
Yeah. That's nice. Very light. Yeah. Refreshing. It reminds me. It actually kind of reminds me of one of our beers.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's got that smell kind of.
It's a little danky.
Danky?
Is that like
is like that, basement?
I don't know. Is that a way to describe it? It's got that like pungent aroma. It's the hops, but I don't know what kind of hop it is. I don't think it says on there.
No. It's from Galaxy. Maybe they're Galaxy Maybe. Hops.
Oh,
that
yeah.
would make sense.
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
But yeah, I am with you. It does. It is similar to something that we brewed back in the day.
It smells homebrewish, but that's in a good way, you know?
Yeah, it's like, well, it's not trying to be like a crazy IPA with all kinds of different aromas and different hops and things like that. So
right.
Yeah, I think it's good.
It is. It's good. And I know this is like our holiday Christmas time of year, and it really, I wouldn't say that it would go with this time of year, but you know, it's the same temperature inside. That's what our friend Denny at Main and Mill once told us. It's always the same temperature inside. Doesn't matter what you drink.
That's true. But I still have a really hard time drinking a stout in the summertime, no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if I come in and the air conditioning is blasting, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Too heavy.
This is definitely, I would put it in the classification as a lawnmower beer.
Yeah.
A working out in the yard, grab me something to, hey, the power of beverage, right?
That's right.
It is really good, though. What would your rating on this one be?
I'd give it an A. I mean, it's a good drinkable beer. Good tasting.
I gotta agree. I mean, these are, honestly, these are probably the harder to make because there isn't a lot of hops to cover it up. There isn't a lot of alcohol in it to cover up. So you gotta go just with your straight flavor. And I think they nailed it. I think they did really good. I'll give it an A as well.
Yeah, so. That's a good point. I'm probably leaning a little bit more to these whenever I go to get a beer when I'm out somewhere. And we went out, speaking of Denny, we went to, on our quote-unquote guys trip last weekend, and we went to...
Christmas shopping trip, yeah.
Yeah, it ended up being just the two of us this year, which was a little bit disappointing, but we still had a good time.
Yeah.
Went to Schlafly, one of our St. Louis breweries, where your glass is from there. And had ESB, which it used to be available in bottles this time of year, but now it's not. It's only on draft.
I know, and that's such a good beer. I'm like, man, I wanted some more of that. Afterwards, when we went to that other place, I actually would have had another ESB if they would have had it at the other place.
Yeah.
And because it was that good. It's kind of because we can't get it anywhere else. It's kind of like, oh, I got to drink it while I can. Maybe it wouldn't be such a big deal if, but I remember bringing it to a Christmas party before when they did have it in six packs.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite flavors. And ESB, just extra special bitter beers. I think they're good. I've had, you know, several from different breweries, and I think it's a really solid style of beer.
I always thought that particular one just feels like almost like you're drinking an iced tea. I don't know what it is. It has that's what it feels like to me.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, we went to, what is the name of that place? I always forget it.
I was going to say Central Perk, but it's
Central Tap.
Central Tap.
Yeah, the new place down here in Festus. And that was your first time there, my second time. What did you think?
It's a really neat place. I like the whole mural of 80s, 90s. There's some today, too, of movies, cartoons, video games. It's like all there.
Yeah, Pop Fiction.
Pop Fiction? They even have Pulp Fiction on there.
Pop culture is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, it's all pop culture. You got, like, Back to the Future, Slimer, Voltron. Was Voltron there?
No, I don't
that
think
that was
the
one thing we didn't see. Okay. No. But, you know, maybe they can't put that there. Forehands owns the...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I doubt that's a reason.
But it's similar to your game room here.
Yeah.
Kind of similar vibe.
Kind of, yeah.
I had some old CRT monitors with a bunch of VHS tapes. But it was funny, you pointed out, we were looking at that their decorations were these little tiny CRT monitors, and then they had a bunch of VCR tapes along the shelf, and it was like Sweating to the Oldies or
Buns of Steel.
Which I guess, you know, was from that era.
It was, but you need the ones I have, like Rock and Roll Wrestling and Ninja Turtles and Ren
Simpsons.
And Stimpy, you know.
Yeah,
Dawn of the Dead or whatever that is. Oh, Night of the Living Dead. Whatever.
So yesterday I had the opportunity to go to Crown Candy for lunch.
I have never been there.
Really? That was my first time being there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you've went this long without going there?
Yeah.
Man.
So this is a restaurant in North St. Louis that I think has been around for nearly 100 years. And now it's been on kind of like a lot of those local TV shows like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
I've seen it. I think the Adam Richman, the Man vs. Food, he did one of their their BLT challenge or whatever it was.
Is that what it is? I went with my friend Elliot, and thought that the challenge he had to do was drink 5 milkshakes.
Oh,
yeah, that sounds right. That so was.
There, we each had a milkshake. It was big enough. They bring it over as in the container that they mixed it in, mm-hmm. and they bring you a glass.
That's old school. Yeah. They bring you the container too.
And it filled the glass, and it's a glass pretty much the size of this pint glass here.
Yeah.
And it filled it up 3 times.
Oh, man. That's how much jeez. It is.
So we had that, and we both had the BLT, which is kind of what they're known for.
Right.
And man, I'm not exaggerating. The amount of bacon on the sandwich is 2 inches high.
Wow.
And then it has, you know, the lettuce, tomato, mayo, and bread. It was great. It was so good. But I mean, we were joking that it's probably like between that and the shake, it's like 4,000 calories.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But we were both able to get it down, and we were like, well, we're not going to need to eat again until like tomorrow, because it's just so much food.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've never been there, and I've heard about it's like mm-hmm. on every, you see St. Louis or famous place, and it's always, they're like, oh, we may have to close down. They're on life support and this and that, and they're still surviving.
That's what Lori was saying last night. She said that they've been in trouble a couple of times financially, but I don't know. Yesterday, we got there right around like 11, so we beat the lunch rush. By the time we got seated, we were the last table available in the restaurant, and then a line started to form behind us. And also, they had this huge shelf where it was to-go orders, where people were coming in and picking up for, you know, I guess DoorDash or whatever.
Right. So
it seems to be going pretty well. And it was, what was yesterday? I don't know, whatever day, middle of the week. And I mean, maybe it's closer to the holiday season, so maybe they're a little bit busier because of that. But it was pretty clear that some of the people there were from out of town. You know, they were right. tourists.
Is it, it's not a very big place though.
No,
it?
It's yeah. not. It is pretty small.
Huh.
And I always heard that it was in a not too great area.
I've heard that as well.
But I was actually surprised where I thought that it was like in a slightly different direction. And I drove around just a little bit because I had to find street parking, and it seemed pretty decent there. Hmm. It was way better than I expected it to be
right.
in that location. And there was a lot of construction and new, I think maybe the tornado from earlier this year went through that kind of general area. So it looked like there was a lot of buildings that were getting repaired, and that's a good sign. So I really enjoyed it though. I definitely would go back, and Lori has never been either.
That's yeah.
And she was a little disappointed that I was going. My friend Elliot's been numerous times, and I was like, oh man, Lori's never been here. And he's like, oh, I'm in trouble. So, but she was cool with it. And I brought her home some candy. They have a pretty awesome assortment and selection of candy that you buy it by the quarter pound.
Don't they have like special stuff at Christmas too? Or is that Easter? Well, probably both holidays. I thought they made the big chocolate bunnies and they have molds or something like that.
I think they do. They had chocolate.
Obviously Christmas, it would be something different.
Yeah. But I think they had trees and stuff like that. I just got like some chocolate covered espresso beans for Lori and yeah. Cool. It was a really cool place, and I'd like to go back, definitely.
Cool. Yeah, one of these days I'll go there.
and speaking of Lori, today's my wedding anniversary.
Oh.
Did you know that?
And you're stuck here with me?
I'm hanging out with you. I'm like, I'm going to go do the show. No, she's at work, and we're going to celebrate late, like in between Christmas and New Year's.
Oh.
But, yeah, 15 years.
That's crazy. Every time you say it, like, man. It's crazy how long, you know.
Mm-hmm. But you're coming up on 9 years, right? You're going to be 9 years in a... No, yeah.
No,
9 years in
9 years,
months.
Yeah.
In March, right?
2017, yeah. So, yeah.
I can't believe you're that... It feels like you would be a lot further behind me, but you're only like,
I know.
6 years
yeah,
behind.
I agree. But maybe you were with her longer than...
Maybe.
Than I was with Molly before we got married. I don't know.
Yeah, we're coming up on, I guess, 19 years together.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. What else is going on?
Oh, man. There is so much going on. Actually, why does it seem like we don't have much going on?
You want to do the snack now and then get into our...
Let's do the snack. It's not a smash burger like it said would go with this beer, but... Cashews, almonds, macadamia nuts. Well, today, and we've done these on the show several times, Lay's always has wacky flavors. And this, it says limited time flavor. It's got ornaments all over the package here. And it even says unwrap holiday snacks. This is salted caramel, or caramel, if you will. I don't know.
Make your leg kick.
Yeah, whichever you say. Lay's. So,
have we had these before? Because it says that they're a popular limited edition. So do they come out frequently?
I don't know. Woo, smell that bag.
Wow. It does not smell like a chip.
No. I grab a few of these. Now, it smells like pure caramel in that bag.
Yeah.
And so do the chips. So, yeah.
Not for me.
No.
I mean, they're not, the flavor is fine, but it just, I think my brain is telling me your potato chip shouldn't be sweet.
The problem is, well, I think it's the potato. The potato has too much,
No artificial flavors? Wow.
No, flavored with other natural flavor. Natural is, isn't that some bullcrap?
Like Bobby Approved would say, mm-hmm. He would read the ingredients and tell you that it's all like,
well, I don't know.
Bad for you. Going to cause inflammation and all kinds of it.
So sweet, my, well, see, it's got seed oil. See? Yeah. Oh, we know that's bad.
All Lay's do.
So I think the biggest problem with this, not the caramel flavor, I think it's the after flavor. Like, it's like you put a caramel in your mouth and then you followed it up with a scoop of mashed potatoes. And it just doesn't work.
Yeah. I'm surprised that it says, when I Googled it, it says that they're a popular limited edition. Because, I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Well.
It's funny we both were like, ah.
No. And it almost needs more salt, honestly.
Yeah.
It's salted caramel, but I don't know. Not for me. It would go better on a pretzel.
I wonder if your kids would like those.
I don't. Well, they're gonna have to. They'll go, oh, these are gross, Daddy.
Yeah,
or something like that. So that was a bust. Sorry about that.
Oh well, that'd give us more time to talk about our top five Christmas songs. And
oh, we're gonna do our top five. Let's do it. We usually, there's been many times where we kind of top five just, we don't get to it.
Or we don't have a great list to be able to provide. Last week was an example where you're like, let's do the top five Christmas gifts that we didn't get. And I'm like, I can't even come up with five.
I came up with five.
I was a good boy.
I wasn't a good boy, I guess.
You're a bad boy.
Top five. So this week, as you said, top five Christmas songs. Now, I think you took one approach. I took a different approach. Or maybe we're kind of on the same track, but
Before we get into it, I just want to kind of talk real briefly about, like, music.
Flavor in my mouth is,
I know,
just,
it's not good.
No. It's like a burnt chip or
So I want to kind of give you a shout out, if you will. I've always been the kind of person that's been very influenced when it comes to music by my friends. So I never, I guess, was in a quote unquote like genre. Like, I wasn't in one specific genre, even as like a teenager. I was all over the place. I worked at Dairy Queen and all those guys listened to country music, and I listened to country music with them and got into it. You were into punk music, and I listened to some of that. I wasn't nearly as deep as you were. And then, of course, alternative music in the 90s.
Alternative, yeah.
And then our friend Jeremy got me into Rush, and your brother was influential in, like, the 80s music.
Hair metal.
Hair metal, and even the 80s pop music, I would say. He was pretty into that. And then, you know, more recently, our friend Mike has gotten me into the prog rock stuff. So anyway, when it comes to Christmas music, I'd never really listened to it much as a kid or growing up. My family didn't really have, I don't remember it ever being like a part of our Christmas time or traditions. And I remember, though, whenever we were like 16 or 17, I was riding around in the car with you, and you turned on Christmas music. And I was like, you were the only, like, 17-year-old at the time that's listening to 106.5 or whatever it was.
And it's weird, too, because you wouldn't think that would be my thing from my normal music. It's not, I don't know. I had it on the other day. Molly is the same way. November 1st, she's got the music on.
Yeah, you were deep in the punk rock. That was like your main genre. I know you had, you know, the alternative stuff and probably some of the hip hop stuff a little bit, but then the total different direction, like you said, with Christmas. And I remember, like, first being a little bit confused and also like, wow, there's other types of Christmas music than just, you know, Jingle Bells and Rudolph and that kind of thing.
Well, like, I got a big stack here of just all Christmas music, Christmas albums. Some of these I actually, I'm borrowing from my parents, which they're never going to want them back. So, but it's just funny that part of my love of Christmas music, too, comes from my upbringing. These would be played nonstop during the holidays. My aunts were big into it, too. Mm. And so anytime I'd be around my cousins or grandma and grandpa, all that music would be playing. And then, like I said, my mom and dad had all the albums, too, you know. So
yeah. Nowadays, it seems like it's more prevalent. I don't remember going back into the 80s if it was on at every, you know, mall or store. It could have been, but maybe it just wasn't as diverse as I think it has evolved to be.
I don't remember, because now there's always a channel, even on regular radio. There isn't satellite, but there's billions on satellite. But on regular terrestrial radio, there's always a channel around here that flips over to Christmas. I don't remember that when we were kids.
Well, what were you listening to whenever we were driving around, or do you think that came later?
I may have had a cassette tape or something recorded.
You may have.
Huh. Or a CD or something.
It might have been a CD, yeah.
It's funny, one of my girlfriends when I was younger, I guess I was like 18, 19, Shan, remember her? Mm-hmm. So she was a punk rock girl, okay? Yeah. Well, and anyway, we went to the mall, went to a music store, and I saw Ray Conniff Christmas, and I'm like, I freaked out because I'm like, I've never seen that on CD. And it's like, you know, she's like, you're going to get this? Like, I go, yeah, I love this. Get in the car and put it on. She kind of looked at me and she goes, oh, I guess I kind of get it. It's jazzy or whatever. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know. I just remember what I probably look like to her, and, you know, as someone who did a total 180 all of a sudden, you know, instead of like, oh, there's a new Pennywise album, I'm like, oh, Ray Conniff, you know.
But yeah, that's whenever I feel like I got into Christmas music, and hopefully I've been somewhat influential to my kids because I keep it on quite a bit this time of year. And Lord, just this morning I made sure that it was on whenever Lori was getting ready for work, and I'm like, you know, we're just going to get into the spirit, you know.
There you go.
And it's, I love it all. So yeah, let's kick it off. Top five. And then we got like dozens of honorable mentions.
So I'll say, for my list that I have, I didn't pick off my normal Christmas that I, well, there may be one on there that's a normal Christmas, but all the rest are a little off the deep end because of, I'm thinking, everyone knows all these other songs. I'm going to throw out some other song, some Christmas songs maybe people haven't heard of, just so I don't know. So yeah. It's a little different.
Sure.
So who you want? What do you want to do? You want to go first? Do you have a? Do you have any order to yours?
Well, I would say that not really. These are five of my favorites, and if I could definitely substitute some of them in and out, but there's probably two on here that I would, if I were to sub, I would never remove them from my top five because I feel like they're just like two songs that I just absolutely love and listen to multiple times this time of year. So I can go first.
Okay.
One of my favorites that I really believe that I heard for the first time in a car with you was by The Waitresses, the Christmas rapping
oh, yeah.
song.
Bah, humbug, well, that's too strong because it is my favorite holiday, but all this year's been a busy blur.
And I remember at the time it was like, and it was an old song then because this one was released in 1981, but it felt like, I guess they're considered like new wave or pop or whatever for that era. And I just remember it feeling like a totally different vibe and feel for a Christmas song. It was a little bit, you know, sad and depressing to an extent. But it also was like, you know, just had that, the music was just different than anything that I had heard before that.
Yeah, it's very, I almost feel that's the reason it lasted. So 1981, I didn't realize it was 81. Yeah. But I think that's kind of the reason it's kind of...
it's very relatable.
Yeah, it's kind of lasted as long as it has just because the different tone of it and that it... There isn't many people that have actually covered it either, so...
No, there's not been a bunch of covers on it. Just a couple.
Yeah. So... I'll go ahead and start with this. One of the weirdest Christmas specials was The Year Without Santa Claus. It was one of those Rankin Bass, like Rudolph. It's got that stop animation or whatever. It's where Santa is like, I'm done. I'm taking a vacation and I'm not. So in that, there was a song. It was about they had the snow miser and the heat miser, and they were two different people, and they didn't get along, so it wasn't snowing. It's a big story. I don't want to go into that. However, there's a really cool song on there there's a snow miser and a heat miser. It's the same song. They just sing about themselves. And the band Big Bad Voodoo Daddy did an awesome cover of it, and it is like, it's crazy how good it sounds.
I'm Mr. Green Christmas, I'm Mr. Sun, I'm Mr. Heat Blister, I'm Mr.
It sounds very much like what the original would be, but it sounds so good coming from them, and... I think you need to check that out. Did you check that out?
I did. Yeah.
Did that seem familiar when you heard it? Did you remember?
I don't remember that.
Really?
That stop animation special, but I listened to it. This is the only one that I on your list that I was not familiar with.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, definitely a different vibe, more of like kind of like a big band.
Yeah. I
feel.
Mean, that's what Big Voodoo Daddy is, mm-hmm. but yeah. Oh, crap. I was going to pull up the... Well, my stupid... I forgot. I'm working on an iPad. No. What am I working on? Apple...
I don't know. Apple laptop.
MacBook,
yeah.
There you go. I was trying to pull up the heat visor. Oh, it's this looking dude.
Oh, yeah. That looks familiar.
It wasn't the best. It's not a very good one, but
Okay.
It had a good, I thought that was a one of those songs that gets stuck in your head.
Is that from back in the like 50s, 60s, something like
1974.
That?
1974. Okay. All right. Back to you.
This one is probably, man, it's very, very tough to rank. Like if I had to just say my favorite all-time Christmas song, this one would be, it'd be a hard choice between this one and the next one. But Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Rockin' around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung
where... I remember hearing that for the first time in Home Alone. And it was, I think it's during the scene whenever he's starting to decorate, or not decorate, but to lay all the traps in the house, and he's doing something with the tree, and I think he's dropping all the ornaments so that they're glass on the ground. It may have been whenever he was decorating the house. I can't remember for sure.
There's the
awesome. So fun fact about that, she was only 13 years old when she recorded that.
13?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
So she is currently still alive. Yeah. She's 82. She released a new version of it. It was either 2 or 3 years ago, right before Christmas, where she's, I don't think she, I think it's still the original song, but she's, you know, lip syncing to it and dancing and stuff. And it's a pretty good video. I would definitely recommend checking it out. It's what I left a link for in there. But yeah, she's still alive and well. She's actually considered a like folk country singer.
Yeah.
So one thing I was going to point out earlier, if you look across, I mean, some of mine are in the same category here, but I could listen to country music, or I mean, Christmas music from like all kinds of genres.
Same, yeah.
I heard one the other day that I shared with you that was from the band Shinedown. I was like, oh, this is really cool. It's, you know, very, you know, hard, not super hard, but alternative rock sounding.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, that was a cool song, but that's on your list as one of them, so I won't.
Yeah. No, yeah, Brenda Lee. I think that's probably my top one or
two. Definitely one of the top Christmas songs of all time, and I'll agree. Not on my list, though, because my list is all over the place. I'll go ahead with Run DMC, Christmas in Hollis as my next one.
It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's
it,
cooking chicken and collard greens.
Being a kid, a white kid in suburbia, hip-hop was the only thing. This is just a good song. It... I mean, I had, so back, I guess 87 is when this came out. I never saw Die Hard at that time, but it was in Die Hard, which makes it a Christmas movie because it's got Christmas songs, and yeah, we won't get into that, but.
Because we're right.
Yeah. My parents bought a very special Christmas, they got it on cassette, and it had all sorts of newer artists. At the time, I think there was Bruce Springsteen, Whitney Houston, Madonna was on there, but it had Run DMC on it. And I played that all the time. And it was one of those songs where my dad was like, oh, this is that rap song or whatever. And then just like everyone else, it grew on him. And my mom's like, yeah, I like this. Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. You know, mom's cooking chicken and collard greens. You know, so it's a great song, and I think it holds up. It's very, very good.
It definitely holds up. We played it the other day. A couple of my kids were over, and I turned it on, and they did not even make any kind of mention to it being, like, old or anything like that. And the video is pretty good. I think that... You know, that original. A lot of these Christmas songs have really good videos.
The weird thing about it, so I didn't know this until much later. I think it's a Ray Charles song, Ray Charles Christmas song, that is sampled in the Run DMC song. It's that dun, 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 dun.
Okay.
That's sampled because they played it on the radio the other day, and I mean, I had heard it before, but, and I'm like, I go, oh, it's Run DMC. And then it goes further. I'm like, oh, this is that other song.
Huh. So, interesting.
Yeah.
My next one, this is again one of my favorites. One thing I did notice about my list is that there's out of the five, there's four of them that are a little bit on the like darker / depressing side.
Yeah. So, definitely.
Wham's Last Christmas. I think that song, that video, everything is great. I love hearing that song, even though it's sad. And, you know, I looked that up. It was released in 1984. George Michael wrote that song because he was in a breakup, which I'm not sure from who, but the Christmas before, or like at Christmas time, the person broke up with him. So he wrote that you know, you and I actually covered that song once upon a time, and that was a lot of fun. And I looked for the video a while back, and I couldn't find it. Maybe you have it somewhere.
I don't know if I do. I'm sure it's been trashed somewhere.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a song that has been covered to death.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard so many versions of that one, and nothing's better than the original. You know.
Yeah.
What am I going to put is I'm going to, as my next one, I'm going to say, so this band, the Vandals, they put an entire Christmas album, which, okay, it was 1996. It's definitely, which was right for me. 'Cause I just got done saying that would be around the year where I was buying a Raycon album. So
you're like, oh, there's also punk.
There's a punk band that released a Christmas album full of, it was all like original songs.
Mm-hmm.
There was like one song that I remember hearing when I grew up in church, in the Catholic church, Here I Am, Lord. They did a peppier version of that. And then they had a really fast version of the Nutcracker Suite. But all the other songs on there are like very much, they're Christmas songs, but
yeah, but with a punk twist.
Yeah, there's one like thanks for nothing, like something like I bought you all these presents, maxed out my cards, and you didn't give me anything.
I haven't heard that one.
But that's a good one.
Huh.
But Oi to the World is the one I'm going to, that's actually the name of the album too. Oi to the World is basically a song about a punk and a skinhead that see the North Star and they decide to have a drink together. It's God came down on Christmas Day. I know exactly what he said. He said, Oi to the punk and Oi to the skin, but Oi to the world. Very Christmassy.
Yeah, I like that one.
And funny enough, the band No Doubt did a cover of the song, and there's actually a video for it too.
And yeah, okay, I did know. So is it like a loose cover? Because it's not quite the same. Doesn't she do like more of like a oi oi oi? Like they don't do that, right?
They do.
Do they? Okay.
Oi to the punks and oi to the skin, oi to the world and everybody.
Huh. Okay. Maybe it is the same. Yeah. I've definitely heard them both, but it's been a little while since I've heard the No Doubt version.
But yeah. So check out that album if you haven't.
I will have to do that.
Got a lot of, some are a little racy. Some maybe a little too. One thing about the Vandals, they put on at the end of the year, they always put on this Christmas pageant. And I would love one day I'm going to get out to California to see their Christmas pageant where they, I mean, literally all over the stage, they have all these, the blow ups and stuff hanging from the ceiling and around the stage. And
that's fun.
Sing some of their, like probably all their Christmas songs. And then, you know, some of their other songs, I would love to see that. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And they're all dressed in Christmas sweaters and stuff. So Josh Freese, yeah.
He's with the Vandals.
He's with the Vandals, yeah.
My next one, I really like the song Do They Know It's Christmas by the super, what do you call it? The ensemble, the big group.
Yeah, super group.
Super group band.
George Michael's in that too, right?
He is, yeah.
Man, two from George Michael.
I know. He was killing it back in the 80s. This also came out in 1984, the same year as Last Christmas. So, man, that just...
He had two on the charts at the same... Oh,
yeah. And there, if you look at that one, there's probably like, I should have counted them, but there's something like 30 or 40 different members of different bands. And they made it, it was basically all English pop stars from that era. So there was tons of people from, I think, all of Duran Duran.
George Michael, Bono, Boy George, Sting, Simon Le Bon, Paul Young, Tony Hadley, and Phil Collins.
Those are your main ones, but then they had like the rest of the band with them in a lot of cases.
Oh, I see. Yeah, Cool and the Gang, Bananarama.
And I didn't know this until I looked it up today, that it actually kind of started the whole movement. This was the first song that was intended to be a fundraiser slash raise awareness for Ethiopia back then.
Oh, before We Are the World.
Right? Yeah, it was We Are the World came out after that.
Huh.
And I think that one is, you know, probably even more recognizable.
Right.
And then also, then it kind of led into like Farm Aid and all of those kind of things that came along after. But this was really the first step into that, I guess, you know, using music as a form of bringing awareness and raising funds and stuff like that. So great song, great video. It's been, I think, remastered or whatever, so it's really, really good quality, and you see, like, all those musicians from then, and a lot of them weren't even all that well-known yet back then in the early 80s.
Does that still happen, where a bunch of singers get together and do a...
I don't
like,
know.
For a charity? I know they have still festivals where they're all for...
Mm-hmm.
But they
for
don't...
Cause, yeah.
I don't know of them all getting together for one big song together.
Yeah, like this one where they were all in the same room and sharing mics and all that kind of stuff.
Have you ever seen the, this is going, you know, have you ever seen the Netflix special on We Are the World?
I don't think I have, no.
It's really cool. It's very interesting. I didn't know he got all... Lionel Richie was the host of the American Music Awards or something like that. He knew all those singers were going to be in California one time.
Yeah.
So he's like, after the show, we're all going over here. We're going to record this. Huh. And it's really interesting. And I could see just people's schedules getting together.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it doesn't happen so much.
Well, we used to comment that you would see on videos, you wouldn't even see if it was a collaboration between two artists in a song, and the video would come out, and it was very clear that they weren't in the same place at the same time.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, they would, I can't think of an example now, but it would,
Lita Ford and Ozzy Osbourne.
Is that an example where they're, like, not even together?
Yeah, wasn't that the one where...
We would see that all the time back in the
your
day.
Eyes forever. Yeah.
It was like they couldn't even get those two together just to do the, you know, that the video for that song, which seems so surprising. But
right.
What's your? Are you on your last one, or you got a couple?
You got
two more. Yeah.
I'm gonna save my traditional one for last, but so Dropkick Murphys, "The Season Upon Us," "The Season's Upon Us." Sorry.
The season's upon us, it's that time of year. Brandy and eggnog, there's plenty of cheer. There's lights on the trees and there's wreaths to be hung.
That's a great song. The video is, I think it's very funny. It shows his family and how it's all dysfunctional, but we all celebrate Christmas. It's a fun time, and it's a really good song. And I feel this is kind of in the vein. I don't want to go in my honorable mentions yet, but it's kind of in the vein of some older songs, and it it very much takes from that, like, the kind of feel. And I don't know, I like it. It's got that, and with Dropkick Murphys, you always have bagpipes too. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. The video, like you said, is really, really good. It just shows, I mean, you may say dysfunctional, but I think it's just like, you know, family comes together. Some of the stuff is a little bit,
yeah,
like he's
it's a normal family, but yeah. You know, everyone's got a family, you know, that's yeah. Got something.
The little boy is in the video, though.
Yeah.
Really.
Peeing in the stockings.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty menacing. Well, I guess my last one, I wouldn't say this is necessarily my number one. My number one's probably Brenda Lee. But I really like the Happy Christmas, War is Over. It's
yeah.
Actually, Happy Xmas, War is Over by John Lennon and Yoko Ono.
So this is Christmas. What have you done? Another year over.
I didn't realize that one came out in 1971, but I did a little bit of research on that one because I never knew. I probably didn't know until within the last couple of years that the in the parentheses part is War is Over. I always just heard it as a Christmas song, so this is Christmas, you know.
Oh.
Another year older. There's so it's a little bit, I always found it a little bit on the darker side, I guess, if you will. It's not
yeah.
as uplifting.
Yeah.
But I didn't notice because the War is Over is, you know, sung by a choir. I didn't quite hear it as that. I don't know what I heard. But whenever I looked at it today, I realized that he had staged a lot of a protest against the Vietnam War back in like 1969 through 1971. And this was like the end of that. I guess the war had ended essentially. And it was around Christmas time that they were, you know, putting this together. So that's like the connection that it made. So I thought it was, that made it even an even like more interesting story to me to just look at the history of
yeah.
what led up to it. And, yeah, I've always liked that song, and I like it even more now.
Yeah. And you were talking about the, not Seether.
Shinedown.
Shinedown. Shinedown did a cover of that. That's what we were talking about earlier. It's a good cover.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My last one, and I would say this is, actually, I tell my kids, this is my Christmas jam. This is this is the one that gets me in the holiday mood. I don't know why, but I love this song. The Holiday Season. Happy Holiday, The Holiday Season by Andy Williams.
Happy Holiday.
It's the holiday season, and Santa Claus is coming round. The Christmas snow is white on the ground. When old Santa gets into
it's
town,
such a lounge singer type Christmas. I don't know. It's weird. Like, I always think of that Simpsons where they go to Branson and they're like, there's no reason to stop here. And Nelson gets him to stop to the Andy Williams Theater to watch Andy Williams. And they're like all bored out of their mind. But so I'm like, Andy Williams, I shouldn't really like it. But I think this song is a banger.
Yeah.
I think it's a great song. No one has covered this song.
Really?
I don't think there's anyone. So
I'm really surprised.
There's
like
so
Michael
many
Bublé or
there's
somebody.
So many Happy Holiday where they sing that, but not the whole holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found any covers, which is fine because the original slaps.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
I agree. And we put our honorable mentions on there, and you have like you have specific stuff. I was like, man, I cannot narrow anything down. There's a couple specific songs I have on my list, but I put anything Andy Williams. I mean, there's other songs that he has that I really like. And then, you know, there's a lot of they call them the crooners, like Michael Bublé and Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
I probably have gotten Frank Sinatra and Andy Williams mixed up in the past because they sound similar. Sinatra's a little, I would say, deeper. in tone.
Right.
And then Bing Crosby, anything that he does. I watched a little bit earlier today. I watched a little bit of the Frank Sinatra Bing Crosby Christmas special that came out in the late 60s. And
oh, yeah.
It's kind of, I don't know where it was. It was probably televised, you know, on CBS.
It's probably a big deal, too.
Yeah, probably.
Millions of people watched it.
Yeah.
You know, well, there was three channels.
Bing comes over to Frank's house, and he brings a version of his Christmas record. And Frank actually is giving him, Bing, a version of his Christmas record. So they're exchanging gifts, but they're kind of a little bit sarcastic in the way that they're doing it and like taking subtle shots at each other. But then they go for a drink, and then they start, you know, they break out into a song, and they're, you know, kind of going back and forth. And then they're talking about, you know, olden times and how they wish they were a part of like the caroler times and things like that. And I don't know. It's kind of funny to see. I mean, that's going on. What is that? Like 60 or no. Yeah. About 60 something years old.
Remember when they tried to revitalize that type of thing with the Bing Crosby, David Bowie crossover, where it was kind of them both in sweaters, and
yeah, that was pretty good.
It was kind of the same thing.
Yeah. What do you have for
mine are a little off the deep end. I will say I love anything Raycon of Christmas. I think that's one of my that's my favorite Christmas. That is Christmas to me. I don't know why they just are. But my weird type mind likes to listen to these other things. Well, Ramones, Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. That's a good song.
Yeah.
That may have been on that very special Christmas album as well. MC Chris, he's a nerdcore rapper. He has a song called Evergreen about Christmas, two guys getting drinking, and
I don't know that one.
They sell Christmas trees.
Okay.
And they're two hayseeds and try to get chicks. I don't know. Psycho Stick, Zombie Kloss. It is literally, it's kind of Psycho Stick. If you don't know, they're kind of a metal band, but they're kind of Weird Owl type. They don't do a lot of parodies, but this one is a parody of, Burn through the name, dude.
Oh,
Dragula. Dragula. Yeah. It's a parody of Dragula, and it's Santa Claus.
Huh.
I'm Santa Claus. Pogue's Fairy Tale of New York. If you haven't heard that, that's very much Dropkick Murphys. What you would think of. It's if you've seen there's. The Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
I watched
on
that
Disney
this
Plus. That's that song's the first song.
Oh, okay.
Nerf Herder, I Got a Boner for Christmas. It's exactly what you think it is. And NoFX Christmas has been X'd. So yeah, those are my honorable mentions.
A couple of them that I didn't, more specific ones that I didn't talk about is, have you heard of the Christmas Dirtbag by Wheatus?
I just saw it was suggested to me this morning, and I didn't listen to it.
It's good.
Is it?
I think it has become more popular than their Teenage Dirtbag song. But it's like a parody of that. And I just looked it up. It just got released 2 years ago. I didn't realize it was that new, because Teenage Dirtbag's got to be, that's like a 90s song, right?
Or early 2000s.
Let's see. That was from 2000. So yeah, 23 years later, they came out with Christmas Dirtbag, and it's good. It's a good video. It seems like it's everywhere right now, so it seems to be really taking off. And then a couple other ones. So Nat King Cole's Christmas song, I really like that one a lot. And then Chuck Berry's Run, Run, Rudolph.
Yeah.
And of course, I really... enjoy Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. I looked up the two videos because I was sure that her original would have had a billion views by now on YouTube, but it was at like 863 million. And her follow-up, the re-release that she did like 6 years ago, I don't know if you remember that one or not.
Yeah.
Where it's, she's dressed a lot more scantily in that version. And I think she re-released it. I think that's a new version. But that one actually has more, like it had 2 million more views than the original, which I was surprised about. But that's, you know, that's the number one song, I think.
Me First and the Gimme Gimmes just released a version of All I Want for Christmas.
Oh, really?
Although they changed their name to Spike and the Gimme Gimmes because I guess Spike's in it all the time, but no one else is. And
Yeah. I think you told me that a while back.
So, yeah, the album cover, I don't know if you could see it. It's him dressed in the outfit.
That's him?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, we could go on and on with Christmas songs. I love them now. And like I said, I give you credit for bringing that to my attention back in our late teenage years.
That's funny. Okay, well, I guess you want to get into movies or
sure.
TV? Or...
Yeah, we could spend some time on Pluribus.
Yeah, let's do that. Did you finally started?
I did. I'm 3 episodes in.
Okay.
And I'm ready to keep watching. I'm kind of working around Lori's schedule because she's been watching them with me. And I really like it. I don't know if you want to get into spoilers and talk about the details or not.
I don't know if I don't want to spoil anything for you because I think I'm up to 6 or 7, whatever they're up to.
I think 7 recently.
Yeah. So I don't remember where the end of 3 ended.
Okay. I will say one thing about it that I had no idea at all what the storyline was about. I knew the actress.
Right.
And I knew, what's his name, Gilligan?
Vince Gilligan.
Vince Gilligan. You know, I knew that he was the creator, writer, director, whatever. And that he came from, or that he did Breaking Bad and
Better Call Saul, a bunch of X-Files episodes.
Okay. That was all that I knew. So I had no idea what the story was or anything. So that was kind of cool. I like going into a series like that where it's been recommended and then you can just like go in with like no preconceived notions.
Right.
I never saw a trailer or anything. So to me, it felt very much like watching the very first season of The Walking Dead. That's the like feeling or vibe that I get.
Yeah,
from it.
Yeah. I could see that. It's you're like, what the heck is going on? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole time Lori's like, I'm so confused. I'm so confused. I'm like, I think this is what happened. It's this and this is what's going on now. And it just happened so fast. And you know, I mean that's basically what it is. But it's bizarre. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, like I said, it's very hard for me to. Have you gotten to the meetup yet? Or
yeah,
they
that
met?
Was the third episode. I
okay,
believe.
So you met the one guy that came on a certain plane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
There was 7 or 6 or 7 of them that got together.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, do we spoil it or not? It's been over 2 weeks for those 3 episodes, so it's okay to spoil things, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So, Pluribus, if you don't know, it's a, like he was saying, Vince Gilligan, there's some sort of, like, code that's, they're seeing it from miles away that they get on this channel and they think it's like some alien or something trying to talk to them. They're trying to decode it. And it actually ends up being some sort of recipe, right?
Yeah, like a DNA.
Like a DNA recipe that they try on rats and, well, it transfers to humans. And then basically everyone has a shared mind.
Yeah.
And so... If they're like need anyone, any person, any shell knows everything in the world. If someone else is in the hive, they know it too.
So
whoever is a doctor or a pilot or a firefighter, they're everything. So it's really interesting the way it does, and they say it's not an alien invasion. The weirdest thing, I don't know if it was episode one or two, where, I mean, this was the, like, holy crap type of moment where she's trying to figure out what the heck is going on, and she turns on her TV, and there's literally, it wasn't the president. It was, he said, it was the next guy that had a suit on. It looked nice.
Yeah.
So he got in front of a mic. And on the screen, it said, Carol, we're here to answer your questions. Yeah. Call us. I mean, she turned on C-SPAN. It has her name. One of the craziest shows. And every week is another one of those where you're like, what is going on? What is this? And I like that kind of show. I liked it with Lost. I know you weren't a big Lost fan, or maybe you were.
Really gave it much of a try.
And the other show, Severance. Severance, I think, is an awesome show too. And both those shows are kind of that mystery, what the heck is going on type thing. And I really like that. I think that's why I kind of like The Chair Company too, because that was kind of a mystery too. But then it kind of it fell flat. But anyway.
The other thing that I like about it, it's considered in the sci-fi genre, but to me, it has a lot of those more practical effects, like we talked about last week with, what were we talking about? I don't know, some movie or something we were talking about, where it's pretty clear that, like, a lot of work has gone into setting up these scenes. And the one episode, and I thought it was just amazing how they did it, was the grocery store scene.
Oh, yeah. I like to be so independent. Cool. She goes, I really like to be independent and get my own stuff. Well, we'll get anything for you. I want to be independent.
Yeah.
So they end up getting like about 200 something people with trucks to unload these trucks and do a whole grocery store for them.
Yeah, recreate the whole grocery store. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of that, you could tell a lot of that stuff, there was no like CGI or anything like that, which I really appreciate. And even the scenes that are like where there's a lot of people, it's pretty clear that it's not like computer graphics. We were talking about Stranger Things and how they've relied as much as they possibly can on practical effects and tried to keep, you know, as a minimum on CGI.
Yeah. But it's a good show. And the one guy, he's taken these aliens or whatever it is, we still haven't figured out yet, that they kind of will do anything you ask. And as the, this like single guy, basically player or whatever you want to call him, he's like, he comes flying in on the
Air Force One.
He has an entourage of
beautiful women.
Yeah. Supermodels with him. I mean, like, well, that's probably what any single guy is going to be doing.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, definitely worth a watch.
A Christmas movie that we watched last weekend, we were talking about the rom-coms a little bit last time that are pretty cheesy, and some of them are really bad. But this one's on Netflix, and I don't know if it's been recommended to you guys or not, but it's called The Jingle Bell Heist. And we watched, like, you know what? Netflix doesn't really do trailers as so much as they do, like, they take a scene from within the film and show it, and it lasts for several minutes. So the scene that you see is, it's kind of like they're planning something. They're getting together, this guy and girl, they're getting together to like rob a jewelry store or something. And it's got a little bit of, you know, rom-com, like, is there a spark there between these two? But it's not in that genre where it's trying to like be just like that cheesy, you know, like Hallmark style movie. And we watched it. We really liked it. It was really good. And I think It may have been a British rom-com movie, but the one actress is American. I really liked it. As far as like holiday movies, it kind of feels a little bit like, you remember Reindeer Games? I really enjoyed that one.
I know. You that talk about it every second, every show.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. I have not brought that up in a long time. I really like
Matt
that.
Damon.
No, that's Ben Affleck.
One of the two. Yeah, that's right.
Speaking of which, they have a movie coming out together. Is, I think, on Netflix that Lori's like dying for the release of.
Yeah.
She loves those guys. But yeah, I like Reindeer Games, but this had like some twists and, you know, some they're planning, you know, it's a heist. I mean, it's clearly in the name, but yeah, I think it's worth a watch.
I will maybe check that out.
Which means you won't.
That's an answer for Molly to. I won't seek it up by myself. There was one, I swear there was some Christmas movie that, Netflix asked me, recommended, and it had Ed Helms in it. But it was playing the song that Molly hates more than anything. Is it Santa Claus is Coming to Town by the Jackson 5?
Really?
She hates that version of it. The worst, she hates. She doesn't hate Michael Jackson or any, but just the young Michael Jackson. No, it's not that one. It's the Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, that version.
Is that Michael Jackson 5?
Yeah.
I know which one you're talking about. I don't love that one either.
Like, I hate this so much.
Is that the one where it's like,
very
over the top. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that one so much either. I didn't realize that was a Jackson 5, though.
Yeah. It's it's a Christmas song heavy show.
You want to talk about Schitt's Creek?
Yeah. So I started watching Schitt's Creek with Molly, and I like it. It's a funny show. It's very like, I'd say it's more dry humor,
definitely.
But it's funny. Chris Elliott's in it, and he can be a little gross at times. But if you can get past some of that, it's pretty good. We're only 5 episodes in or whatever. I don't know how many seasons it is, but
it was quite a bit. That's about as far as I ever got. Was the first 5 or so episodes.
So we've been watching that. That's been our kind of wind down show that we watch at night. But
never could get into it.
It's on Disney Plus, I think, is where we're watching it. So, 6 seasons it looks like.
7.
7? There will not be a season 7.
Yeah, so 6.
There you go. Oh, also I thought it was funny. So Peter, my 5-year-old, he had Netflix on. We were watching the Christmas Chronicles the other day. Have you ever seen that one?
That sounds familiar.
Good night.
That's the old guy.
Why am I saying the old guy? It is Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, that's what I.
There's a second one, too. So we watched that the other day. They wanted to watch a second
one. Those are good.
Peter goes to... We only made it through half the second one. It was getting too late, so they had to go to bed. Well, me and him were just... We went shopping, me and him, and Molly went shopping with Millie last night so we can get each other presents. And so we got home before they did. And he puts it on. I go, you can't watch that. You can't watch the rest of it without them. So he finds Mark Rober. He's got his, I guess, some of his YouTube stuff on there. And he thought it was the greatest thing ever. And it made me so happy because it's like actually a learning type thing too. And he turns on one where it's the dude. Oh, what is it? Dude Perfect, I guess.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
The Dude Perfect versus him in a robot battle bots type thing.
Oh, okay.
I think that was episode 1 of this thing, and he was so into it, and he's been watching all the I don't know if there's that many on Netflix, but I'll have to show him the YouTube channel.
Yeah, I didn't know Mark Rober had anything on Netflix.
Yeah, it's for his it's like Mark Rober's Crunch Labs, which is his other
His toy company or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever it's called.
So, yeah, and now he's like, I want to get, because they haven't still have the ad for that in there too. And he's like, I want to get that, Dad. No, I'm like, we'll see. You know,
Lori and I had talked about getting that for our nephew for several years. We've never done it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's some good stuff.
But yeah, it was fun to watch that with him because he watches a lot of annoying videos and Minecraft walkthroughs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And for once he watched something and I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. I like, you know, so that was cool.
That's cool. What's the annoyingly inconsistent?
Oh, I was just going to say that I should have brought this up during our, when we were talking about Christmas songs, but 12 Days of Christmas, we've heard it a billion times. Mm-hmm. And it's always off-putting when someone sing, it always happens under Eight Maids of Milking, okay? That's when some songs go off the rails.
Hmm.
And I only found like two, I thought I was going to find more. But this song I heard, and Peter likes it, because we heard it on the radio, on the Sirius channel, and he likes it because during Four Calling Birds, it's like different voices singing each one. And during Four Calling Birds, it's like, Four Calling Birds. It's like a really deep voice, and he thinks it's hilarious. But we listen to that whole thing, and then he gets to nine, and they go nine drummers drumming. I'm like, what is wrong with this?
What is it supposed to be?
It's 12 drummers drumming.
Oh, okay.
Nine ladies dancing.
Okay.
Then that's what it should be. Then 10, they did 10. I had this written down.
I've never been a fan of 12 Days of Christmas.
It's very, it's repetitive.
It's repetitive, but it's peculiar as well. Like, what are we talking about with some of these things?
Yeah. But anyway, it was, they had all of them wrong from the normal. So that's why it was weird to me. And I put it in there, but it's really not really something that
I'm a purist.
Yeah, I swear it should be. It should always be 12 drummers drumming. Come on. That's the end.
Yeah.
There was that office where Andy decides to get Erin the 12 Days of Christmas for Christmas. And every day he gets her a different thing. And she's like, whoever's doing this, it was a Secret Santa thing. Whoever's doing this, could you please stop? And she's like, I got scratched by this bird. And that goes, is it my fault that like the first 8 days are all birds?
Huh. Yeah, it's a weird song.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we get into shop talk?
Okay. I don't have anything else for you.
All right. Well, let's see. How do we start this
thing? I was supposed to prepare. Okay, I got it.
Yeah. So, shop talk. This is going to be episode 3.
Shop talk.
Do we have a clip that we're going to... Yeah. All right, so
that's all I got.
This week I wanted to talk about safety and injuries. And last week, whenever we were talking, I said... There was a idea that I had for creating a video for what you should do prior to getting started in woodworking. If you are interested in that, if you're interested in woodworking, I see all these videos where it's like, here's the tools you should buy. I think that you should really spend a lot of time learning about safety and buying safety gear first. I say that, you know, I'm laughing as I'm saying that. But I truly believe that because I know there's a lot of injuries. I was going to try to find some statistics on this, but I know that there's a lot of people that end up, you know, taking a trip to the emergency room because they cut themselves or whatever. And I've had some close calls. The most dangerous tool in the woodworking shop is generally considered to be the table saw, which you don't have a table saw, right?
I don't. So I still have all my fingers.
Yeah.
Jeff in shop class, was it a bandsaw or a table saw? He got He got half of his finger sawed off. Ooh. He had to go to the emergency room.
I mean, bandsaw, I could see that, but you have to be like pushing your finger into the blade.
Yeah.
Of a bandsaw. It's generally not going to get pulled into the blade like a table saw is. But I had a close call with a table saw many years ago where I was cutting up pallet wood and running it through, and I hit a nail that I thought was removed. I thought I removed all of them, and a piece shot out and like went straight into my arm and buried itself so deep into my skin that I didn't get it out. Like, it's still in there in my arm, but it's just like a little shard, and you know, whatever. I just was like, I'm going to be safer.
Does it go off during metal detectors?
No. It's a little tiny fragment, but I mean, and I thought I'd gotten it all out, but it's there's a little piece still there. But anyway, this last week, for whatever reason, I had a couple of injuries, and they were both kind of stupid, but they, one of them is on my thumb here. I don't know if you can see it. It probably doesn't look like too much now, but I was using a block plane. You know what a block plane is? And it's a small one where I was using it with one hand, and I basically had to round over the edge of a piece of 1x4, and I was holding it with one hand, like down further, and I was kind of going along probably a good like 3 feet, you know, from my other hand. But then I hit a knot, and as I hit the knot, I guess it was hard enough that it made the block plane jump, and it somehow caught my thumb.
Ooh.
And I didn't even notice it. Like, I felt it, but I didn't notice it at first. I look over, and like half of my fingernail is hanging off. And I'm like, what the heck? And then, it started bleeding like crazy. It would not stop for the longest time. And, you know, it's one of those things where there's certain things in the shop, as you're a woodworker, you can't wear gloves when you're doing it because you need some level of dexterity. But like, that is not one of them. I could have easily been wearing gloves to protect myself, and I wasn't. The other one was I was trying to basically put this cleat up on a wall that I had. You remember my folding table that folds into the wall? I can like fold it down.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was putting I was lowering it just a little bit, and I was putting that cleat back up, and it's a 2x4. It's like a 6-foot 2x4 that I was attempting to screw to the wall. And I think I had gotten it in the wrong hole. I don't remember what happened. But anyway, I pulled the screw out, and it fell down onto my knee. Oh, my God. It hurt so freaking bad. Because I was squatted down. I was about, you know, I was trying to screw it about 3 feet from the floor.
Yeah.
And it hit right above my knee, and I had the biggest knot there. And it was another thing. It was just, like, dumb. Like, of course a 2x4 is not going to, like, stick to the wall without it being supported in some way. And I just like unscrewed it and like, boom, that fast.
Oh, it's heavy.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
So I think
gravity, it does exist.
Yeah. I really try to be very safe with safety glasses, ear protection, and a dust mask at all times now. That's one thing that I probably wasn't great at when I started out.
Oh, I've done a lot of, where am I? Safety glove. Oh, I'll just
squint.
I'll just squint.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know. Yeah. And then you're like, that was so stupid.
Yeah. I've done that with, I think I was filing something, and a metal filing got in my eye. And I could have easily be wearing glasses, anything, you know, even if you don't have safety glass, sunglasses, something covering your eyes. But I literally had to go to, I've never had an eye injury, and I'm like, do I go to the doctor? Do I go? I went to the eye doctor I normally go to. I went to America's Best. I go, I don't know if you do this, or I go to the emergency room. They go, oh, okay. And they put like some numbing stuff, and they like literally took some tweezers and pulled out whatever piece of sty.
Was it stuck in your like eyeball?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They had to pull it out. And luckily it healed up. No problem. I didn't have any injuries or anything, but it definitely was uncomfortable.
Yeah. Gosh. It happens so fast. And probably the worst injury that I've had. And I should have learned from this because it was just a few months ago. You remember I was breaking a piece of bamboo in half in my backyard some gardening work, and it cut through me like a razor blade. And I still have nerve damage in my right index finger, which is I'm right-handed. So that's the finger that I use for everything, picking things up, and it's still numb. And that should have given me, I should have learned enough from that to know that there's a lot of times I should be wearing gloves, but I still don't. I'm really good with the glasses, the ear protection, and the dust masks, but I don't do a good job with my hands.
My hands, I got two of them. I got many fingers.
So many fingers. So yeah, I think anybody getting into like those DIY projects and any kind of woodworking, man, just really invest in safety gear from the beginning.
Yeah.
So and use it.
I think one of my, utility knives, I've cut myself with those so many times. Like, just stupid things. You're like, you're just being careless. That's basically what it comes down to. Yeah, or you're trying to, cut something awkward that it slips and then, crap.
Gonna need a Band-Aid.
Yeah, that'll require a tetanus shot, you know. So, yeah, but that a lot of the safety is just think before you start to.
That's true.
Because, like a lot of those things, if you would just take your time or plan like that, you're talking about cutting or something, plan some sort, well, with like the table saw, don't use your hands, use
The push sticks,
sticks and stuff like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of safety gear and features out there. And, you know, I'm just as guilty as anybody else of not following my own advice, and I'm trying. That's why I'm kind of wanting to talk about this, is I'm hoping that just talking about it will make me think twice. I'm going to be editing this video, and I'm going to be, you know, all the things, I'm hear my own voice saying it over and over again. And it's like, dummy, stop, and, you know, just take it a couple extra seconds to put on some gloves. And I don't know. So that's what's been going on with me. I've been finishing up this cabinet that I'm building for our home gym that I've been in the process of renovating now for like the last couple of weeks, or just giving a facelift, really.
Yeah.
And just about finished with that. I'm going to get that put together, and then I'm going to be moving on to the next thing. So I have a video coming out this Saturday on moving my TV from one wall to another. And I think it's a really good video. As far as the editing goes and this me telling the story, I'm curious to get your thoughts when you get a chance to watch it.
Okay.
It's like 11 minutes or so long, and I don't know. I really tried hard to make it where it's helpful and it's hopefully, you know,
entertaining
and people will watch it. My last video,
well, you can't force people to watch anything.
No, I know. My last video has got like 160 views or so now, which
good.
Is not as good as those used to be. Back in the day, man, we used to be able to put up a video and they'd get...
A lot of that has to... When COVID was happening, our videos would do great. And I think that was a lot of people wanting to do stuff at home. And,
yeah.
And it's not as much anymore. Or maybe there's just more to look at, more, you know.
Yeah, there's that. There's a lot of creators out there. I mean, the landscape of YouTube has evolved so much that so many people are creating now.
Look at
some of our videos from way back when that, you know, you look at them now and they're not the greatest of quality, but yet they have 100,000 views or whatever.
And they still comment on something. You're like, I addressed this.
Yeah. This is the worst. This is the slowest, whatever. Your audio sucks or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I did that in 2013.
Yeah. I didn't have anything. Didn't have any kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I have the workings of plans, but nothing like really out there.
You have your cookies that you're
working
on right now.
I could do a bunch of basically a videos on recipes and
you should start
like
a different channel.
Just a lot of work. Then I gotta build up another channel. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that you'll have some time in 2026 and we're gonna, you know, do this again where we're saying we're gonna have some goals and hopefully they can be smart goals and attainable. And you know, I'm thinking about what I'm gonna do. I'm hoping that we can continue to have these conversations as a part of our Stuck in Beta podcast on a regular basis, and that'll at least keep us somewhat moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I definitely will. I know you're way ahead on the videos on that channel, but I'll get there.
You'll get there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Used to be the other way around, long time ago.
Yep. It's getting a little easier for me now, though, and I don't have the day job to hold me back.
Day jobs get in the way. Young kids get in the way.
Yeah, I don't
Christmas
have that either.
Gets in the way.
I do have that.
You know. So, hey, we got anything else?
I don't think so.
I think that is a show. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll just see you next time.
See you next year.
Next year. Well, we may have one more before then.
Oh, I hope so.